Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. In grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the God of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, just world through lust.
Also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you.
Simon Peter, a bondservant. A bondservant, a slave by choice. And an apostle, a messenger he's sent out with a mission to bring the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent him out. What is Christ? It's not his last name. His title? Do you know what it means? It's the anointed one. So like a king was anointed, same word they use for the king being anointed. But they're anointed for something specific. The king was anointed to fill his role as king. Jesus was anointed to fill a role. King of kings, but also Savior and our Lord, Master. That's why Peter could be a bondservant, because he was under what Jesus was anointed for. As we go through this chapter, we're going to get some description of what Jesus was anointed for. To those who have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith with us. Peter's saying that the faith is the same faith that he had. He was there, he saw it, he was commissioned, he was that slave under Jesus. And we can have the same faith. He's writing to those of us who have obtained that same faith. How did we get that faith? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Another clue of what Jesus is anointed for. A couple things there. He's anointed to be God. He's anointed to be our Savior. We haven't got to the end of what he's anointed for. But it'll keep building. From 2 Corinthians, we get, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, faith, and so I spoke. So this isn't Peter writing this. This would be Paul. But he's describing the same type of thing. We also believe, I'm sorry, what was written was, I didn't look up who said that. It was written in the Old Testament somewhere. Paul's quoting it. And then Paul says, we believed the same way. And so we also speak of what we believe. What we really believe is what we have to be able to share. And this is what we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So Paul's saying he's got confidence that he's going to be with us when we're in Jesus' presence. That's the faith that we get through the righteousness, because he has given us the righteousness, his righteousness. We get that same faith. We get that same belief, knowing, experiential knowing. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That knowledge, that understanding, that experience. Is part of what brings us the grace and peace. Or gives us the ability to receive it, the understanding of it. He gives it, it's available. Of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here's another, what he's anointed for, what his mission is, was and is. As his divine power was given to us, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power. What is divine? Any ideas? Sorry, what is divine? It's divine power. It's not just power.
Holy or set apart.
Holy or set apart, okay. That describes this specific divine, yes. Of God. It's God's power. And we're talking about the power of Jehovah, the specific God. divine refers to deity. And because Jehovah is holy and, what was the other word you used? Set apart. He's set apart. He's the only one. There is none other. There's none other that can come close. So that defines his power. But his power isn't just set apart from us. It's what brings us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So he gives us physical life just because he created us. But then the life of our spirit comes through his power. He gives it for everyone. He just gave us a choice to reject it or not. So that's where we get, where we have the power, the ability to live in godliness. I think we kind of know what life is. Might be hard to explain. We experience it. That, how do you describe life? It's the opposite of death. Doesn't really describe it that well. It's the ability to function. And godliness. Godlikeness. Is that a good goal? To be godlike? Mm-hmm. Satan wanted to be godlike, but in the wrong sense. This godlikeness is taking on the characteristics of Jesus, which is not what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to replace God the Father. Jesus didn't give us that picture of what he wants, of what he, I was going to say what he attempts to do. He does attempt to do it. It's not just attempt. It's done. It's done, yes. Completed. The attempt. That's not a very good description of it. It's done. It's a better description. And he is doing. First Thessalonians 2:12 says, "We exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in the manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So, he gives us the power to walk worthy, not just worthy to be acceptable to him, but worthy to be called, to be invited into his kingdom. To be with him. His kingdom is where he is the best description I've come up with for it. There's other descriptions of specifics. He lives in our hearts. We will be in heaven with him. But each one of those is not inclusive. His kingdom is where he is, and the realm of his power. Pretty inclusive. The things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, who's the him there? The Father? Okay, who called us by his glory and virtue? Yeah, so I'm not going to try to divide it up. I'm going to say yes. but it's that true Jehovah now I can't pronounce the other name that we translate Jesus, Yeshua, both and, invited us, called us by his glory and virtue, invited us by the glory and virtue that he has through that. He invited us to be like him. Wow. So all of this is setting the foundation for what he's getting to. By which, so by the previous, it's been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What promises? That through these, you, us, remember who he's writing to. He's writing to all that have obtained faith. Faith, specifically the faith in Jesus, our Savior and God. That through these promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. There's that divine again. Specifically speaking of the nature of Jehovah. And by having that divine nature, having escaped the corruption, no, we have the divine nature because of what he has done, and because of what he has done, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what do we escape? Yes. A fallen nature, corruption. So what is corruption?
Against God's intended plan for us?
Against God, it's definitely, he did not plan for us to be corrupt, to corrupt. Sin. Sin's in there. The wrath of God, that is going to bring destruction. Yes. Satan, yeah, we've escaped the effects of Satan, which is corruption, destruction, decay, rottenness. A lot of times we call it death. Death is a separation, but it doesn't really describe the corruption. But it's what happens to our physical bodies when we die. It's that decomposing that. Well, spiritually, we've escaped that. The walking dead. We will be walking dead, in a sense, with spiritual life and our dead physical body. But we'll have a new life, so then we'll no longer be walking dead. We'll be walking alive in a new body. And that corruption, that decay, comes through desires for self. Yes. Anything that gets in the way of our position in Jesus, which is, how did Peter describe that in the first verse? His position in Jesus. A bondservant and an apostle. So anything that gets in our way of being that slave by choice, that is a messenger, would be any desire for something else. And a lot of times it involves myself.
Desire for the corrupted world.
Yes.
And they go together, the corruption.
It is corrupted, and that corruption means it's decaying. And yet, why does it look so good?
It's like about candy. Like, why does the stuff that's bad for us make us want it the most?
Okay,
sorry.
That does bring out why it looks so good. Because at the moment, we like something about it. So that fits in with some of this list that he's going to talk about, where it contrasts it. Because these things that he describes as being God-like doesn't have the sugar taste right to begin with necessarily. It's not that candy appeal. It's got the substance. So verse 5. But also for this very reason, what reason? For this very reason, because we have faith in Jesus, the Anointed One, And because he provides all needed for life and godliness, and he gives us his divine nature. So because of that foundation, then, put effort into, give diligence to add to your faith. So we already have faith. It's assumed that we have faith. That's who he's talking to, who he's writing to. So at this point, we don't need to get faith. We already have it. We believe, we know who Jesus is. That connection with Jesus is there. So because of that, then add virtue. How do we add virtue? Our actions, okay? That shows what our faith is. Yes.
Walking in the Spirit.
Walking in the Spirit.
This is a practical attitude and habits adopted in obedience.
Practical
attitudes and habits.
Attitudes and habits adopted in obedience
to the Lord's divine nature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being a doer and letting him do. So when it is a result of our faith, it produces godliness. We can attempt to be virtuous on our own. Does it produce godliness? It doesn't. Why? Because it glorifies self. It glorifies self because that's where the power is coming from.
You can see so much of that right now. Right, when they're trying to tip the tables of God's morality, self virtue.
Mm-hmm. Calling evil good, that they're redefining virtue, but even to try to be virtuous by God's definition. Without his power,
right.
Still doesn't get us there. And so we keep building a foundation. Add knowledge. Your experience. Brings wisdom, yes.
Habits of virtue is probably reading God's word or studying his commands, which would bring knowledge to that virtue.
So it's kind of a given when you have the foundation, the next thing's going to come. This gives us a big picture. Any one of these doesn't do it. And to knowledge, self-control. Learning from your mistakes. And
But it's the understanding of what I should and what I shouldn't be doing, just from the scriptures themselves, will lead to the self-control. No, I'm not supposed to do that.
The understanding of the knowledge. Mm-hmm.
By not accepting the actions of the flesh and the lust, which is under the corruption,
mm-hmm.
but being able to choose your own actions under the virtue of knowledge that you have obtained.
Being able to choose.
Not being this, not living under the flesh or the emotion, but under the divinity of God.
He keeps going back to that divine nature that he gives us. Mm-hmm. Self-control, we put some effort into it, but yet it's still not on our own power. I'm not sure what other word to use, but...
Force it.
I'm sorry?
You can't just force it on yourself.
That's right.
It kind of comes through the Holy Spirit, through knowledge.
The self-control that goes along with guiding us is... Godlike control. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then perseverance. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's not going to be
easy.
It's going to take stick to it. Yes.
Endurance. Through persecution.
It could be through persecution. Very often will be. Testing. Attempts by the enemy to get us to look to a different power. And to perseverance, godliness. How do we get godliness?
By the Holy Spirit. Well, Adam and Eve were perfect. But life was the Holy Spirit breathed life into us.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam and Eve corrupted that. And that falls into that you must be born again. From above, the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. It's all based on being reborn.
Being reborn, which is simply the new life that God gives us.
Yeah.
He's given us everything that pertains to life.
Draws us in by tasting and seeing how good he is.
Being directed to give all diligence. So what's the connotation of that diligence?
Seeking after him like
pearls. In other words, like you would something of really valuable that you really want? Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean work hard, as it does, I really want it, and I'm going to make sure that I accept that invitation, because it's all involved in that call to accept.
I find, like, in my walk, when I lose that diligence or that focus on the Lord, then you start losing the self-control and the perseverance. It starts coming back, rolling backwards.
We don't have to try very hard for that. And yet, I can be thankful for that, because it gets tied into that choice issue. It means so much more. If I had to, Jesus wouldn't mean as much. God wouldn't mean as much. It's that difference between being the free slave, the slave by choice, than it would be you have to, and you can't go back. You can't go back into any of those things. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And I'll go ahead and do that, because what's the difference? Self-sacrifice? I didn't look up that love, but I think basically it's the two types of love. Yes. Okay, Philadelphia is the brotherly love. So it is the, those last two are love and love. Yes.
Yeah, the brotherly kindness is the I love you as a friend, as a brother, while the agape is the I'm willing to sacrifice everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not my arm. Based on the whole, lack of a better term, pyramid scheme that this thing is showing, if you don't have the hard rock of your faith, your virtue won't hold. And if your virtue can't hold, it doesn't matter that you have knowledge. And if you don't, if your knowledge doesn't matter, self-control isn't going to stand. Self-control isn't standing. You aren't going to persevere. If you aren't persevering, you aren't going to be a display of godliness. And if you aren't displaying godliness, you'll never get to brotherly kindness or to love.
If you think about the movies nowadays, like if you see, like, I'm not saying anything about Catholicism, but they're like movies where they're like Catholic priests who are like beating themselves, trying to have self-control. Trying to go from not the bedrock of faith in Jesus.
It's too much focus on the self. So if we keep putting it back to that foundation, that it's what Jesus was anointed for, was to bring that building. And as Wayne was sharing that, I had to think, it's interesting, the order of these, and love is the greatest, and yet it is dependent on all the rest. All the rest of the foundation, and I got to keep going back to the very foundation is Jesus Christ, and then our faith. For if these things are yours and abound in you. Sorry, I'll start over. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be empty. You'll be full of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If we lack it, we've forgotten that we've been cleansed from our old sins by the divine nature, replaced. They've been replaced by the divine nature. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call, your invitation, your divine invitation, your invitation by Jehovah, and your election, your selection by Jehovah, which is simply because you accept the invitation, he accepts you. To make your call and election sure, firm, secure, confident. You're confident. You're not sealing the deal. You're confident. You make it in yourself, your mind, your heart, that it's there. You can't give away what you don't got, and you need to realize what you have. That's what it's talking about, making it sure. First John 3:19 says, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him," before Jesus, God, Jehovah. When we are of the truth, which is another way of saying we're in Jesus, because that's what he was sent to do. That will assure our hearts, make us confident. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through faith, knowing Jesus, anointed to be our Savior, will be transferred into that everlasting part of the kingdom. We're in his kingdom now, but through faith, we will be in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord, Master, and Savior. He paid it all. Jesus, the one anointed for the very purpose of that. Father, thank you. We could do none of this without your power, your divine power, and we don't deserve it, but you created us for it. You created us to commune with you, to share this life that you give us, this physical life and the spiritual and mental life also that you've created in us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. You are holy, holy, holy. Amen.